And return with me to Paul's letter to the Thessalonian Christians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, we read verses 1 through 5. And as we come to these verses, we find the Apostle Paul looking forward again. Yes, his Thessalonian friends have suffered a setback, and it could have been crippling to Paul's mission to the Gentiles. And throughout chapter 2, Paul has been reassuring and instructing the Thessalonians. And when we come to chapter 3, we sense a pivot. Paul shifts from addressing the concerns that have roiled the Thessalonian congregation to the opportunities that lie before. And it's clear that Paul's looking away from the discouragements. He's leaving them in the rearview mirror. And he's focusing on the hope that he cherishes for the future. So will you listen as we hear God's word? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord about you that you are doing and will do the things that we command. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. That's the word of our God. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that your word is living and active. We thank you that your word is a word that speeds ahead. And we pray that tonight your word would speed among us, that it would speed to the place where it needs to be heard in our hearts and where it needs to be applied in our lives. And that not only might your word be honored, we pray that the Savior who speaks to us by his word and spirit, we pray that the Lord Jesus might be honored by our reception of his truth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, are you looking forward this evening? If so, you are not alone. And Paul reminds us that we are not alone as the people of God. At the end of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul reminds the Thessalonians that God is with his people. And in verses 16 and 17, now Paul reminds the Thessalonians that in the midst of the turmoil and the uncertainty that the future may hold for them, God will stabilize them. God is the rock underneath the feet of his people. In the midst of change of every kind, our God remains constant and the same. And we, the people of God, take refuge in the solid, rock-like, unchanging character of our God. Yes, God is the dwelling place of his people throughout all generations, and we are glad for that. You remember Moses contemplating going up to the land that God had promised them in Exodus chapter 33, that moment when the people have failed so miserably. They've worshipped the golden calf, and God threatens to withdraw his presence. And Moses says, if you will not go up with us, then don't send us. We can't go there unless you accompany us. Tonight, we're assured that God is with his people. But tonight, also, Paul reminds us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 that not only is God with us, but other people are with us. We are surrounded by a community of God's people. We live out our Christian lives in community. We serve our God in community. That's one of the resources, one of the means that God uses to establish his people in every good work and word, as we heard Paul speak at the end of chapter 2. And tonight we want to explore that in these opening verses of chapter 3. We work together to fulfill the ministry that God has given his church, and we do so prayerfully, We'll see that in verses 1 and 2. We do so confidently. We'll see that in verses 3 and 4. And we do it trustingly. We'll see that come into focus in verse 5. So here are God's people serving the Lord together as a community of saints, as a church. And first of all, in verses 1 and 2, Paul reminds us that the service in which we engage is a service that is to be bathed in prayer. God's people are to be praying people. And Paul asks the Thessalonians to be faithful in praying for his ministry. Paul, from personal experience, has discovered just how absolutely necessary that is. And listen to what he says in verse 1. He says, "Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed abroad and be honored as happened among you." And Paul's harking back to the early success that his ministry received when he came to Thessalonica. There were people in that city who were eager to hear the truth. And Paul speaks of the Thessalonians as having honored God's word. And the way the Greek is written, it's the idea they consistently honored, they reverenced or glorified the word of God. That is a sign of a healthy congregation. That God's word is held in high honor. That God's word is reverenced. Not that we carry it around on silken pillows. Not that we worship it as some kind of idol. But rather that we recognize it as the word of God. That we hear it. That we receive it with faith and love. What does the catechism say? We receive it with faith and love. We lay it up in our hearts. We practice it in our lives. That's how God's word is honored. And when Paul came among the Thessalonians, that was the kind of reception that the word of God received from the Thessalonians. And that kind of reception is represents a mark of a healthy congregation. It's a good sign when God's people have a hunger to hear God's word. It's a good sign when God's people desire to explore God's word and mine its riches and take possession of its truths and lay claim to its promises and, of course, see and love the Savior who's portrayed to us in all the Scriptures. That's a healthy sign. It's a healthy sign of congregations. It's a healthy sign for individual Christians that they hold God's word in high regard with an eagerness, with a real appetite for it. What a blessing that is. And what a wonderful thing to be surrounded by people who have that kind of eagerness for God's word. And Paul then prays that the kind of reception that the ministry of God's word received in Thessalonica would be a reception that God's word would receive in other places as well. Pray that God's word would speed ahead. It literally means run. That God's word would run out. God's word is energized by the Holy Spirit. God's word is pushing forward. God's word is living and active. God's word is a powerful word. Back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul speaks of God's word as ringing out everywhere. Now we come to 2 Thessalonians, and Paul speaks of God's word as running out. God's word is powerful. We cherish God's word. We preach God's word. We speak of God's word because we know that God's word has a power that can't be contained. And Christians hear Paul's exhortation, and we pray for the going forth of God's word. We pray for the ministry of pulpit and classroom here at Knox. Pray for those ministries. That's an important part of our work, that we be praying for that. Here's Paul asking these Thessalonians. How many of the Thessalonians do we know by name? Well, I think from the New Testament, we only know two of them, Archippus and Secundus. They're the only two who are named in the New Testament. But these ordinary Thessalonians, Paul says, pray for the running forth of God's word, that it would go forth. Pray for preaching, pray for the teaching, pray for our Sunday school teachers, pray for parents as they instruct their little ones, pray for our church plants, pray for our missionaries, pray for our regional home missionary, people who honor God's word. Pray for the means that God uses to send his word out. In our call to worship, we heard the psalmist say that God sends out his command to the earth. His word runs swiftly. God himself empowers his word. But Paul knows that there's opposition as well. And he asks the Thessalonians to pray that, verse 2, pray that we'll be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have the faith. And of course, again, Paul knew from personal experience how that played out. Yes, he had to flee from Thessalonica. And yes, when he got to Berea, even though there was a warm reception given to God's word there, there was also a hostile reception. And then, of course, from Berea, Paul fled to Athens. And, well, the message was not too favorably received there by many of the hearers. And Paul, moving on to Corinth, found that even though a church was established there, it was a church that was racked by all kinds of challenges and difficulties. The work of the kingdom is one that often is fraught with challenges and difficulties. Don't be surprised when that happens. Paul solicits the prayers of the brothers and sisters for his ministry. And as we think of those who are laboring in the cause of the gospel, pray for them. They encounter challenges, they suffer discouragements, they face obstacles of different kinds, they experience different kinds of frustration and exasperation, discouragement. Pray for them. Paul says to the Thessalonians, pray for us. Pray for that ministry of God's word. And so there's prayer here, but Paul also speaks of confidence. Listen to verses 3 and 4. Paul says, the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one, and we have confidence in the Lord about you that you are doing and will do the things that we command. Paul had confidence in the Thessalonians' service. And it's really quite delightful to hear Paul express the confidence, Paul affirming the brothers and sisters in Thessalonica in their witness. And I'm sure that affirmation and encouragement must have been a blessing to them. But Paul recognizes that the source of their faithfulness is God himself. Paul's confidence is based on the fact that God is faithful. God is going to be working through the Thessalonians. God works through his people, and that's the source of Paul's confidence. He talks about the Lord's protection. God is going to grant protection against the evil one, and reminding us that the work of Jesus' kingdom is a work that's bitterly opposed by the evil one, and yet we pray that the Lord would be our protector. We've been looking at the catechism in our catechism class recently, looking at the Lord's Prayer, where the sixth petition prays that the Lord would deliver us from evil, deliver us from the evil one. And we pray that God would keep us from being tempted to sin, that God would guard and protect and deliver us when we are tempted. And so we look to God as the one who protects his people. And Paul recognizes the attacks of the evil one, and Paul's experienced those, but his prayer is first and foremost for the Thessalonians, that the Lord would establish and guard them against the evil one. Our brothers and sisters face temptations. They encounter discouragements. They face opposition. That, yes, we do believe in spiritual warfare, and yes, we should be praying for our brothers and sisters, some of them struggling with discouragement, with depression, some of them facing different challenges, some of them despondent, some wearied and exhausted. Pray for them. And Paul's prayer, you see, is a prayer that looks beyond human weakness to the strength and reliability and power and, yes, the faithfulness of God. If we relied on other people, we would just throw in the towel. But we recognize that God is at work in his people. And Paul is confident that God's going to protect them, but he's confident of their obedience. And that's what it is to honor God's word. It's to obey God's word. And Paul's confident that the Thessalonians' congregational life is marked by an obedience to God's word that's constant and ongoing. And, of course, as we've said, that's sourced in God. And that's why Paul in verse 5 then reminds us that we serve as those who trust in God. Listen to verse 5. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and the steadfastness of Christ. That is a beautiful prayer for Paul's friends. May the Lord direct your hearts. And the idea, well, the term that Paul uses, that word direct, it's construction site language. It's kind of road work language where you clear away obstacles, you smooth out a path, you level the roadbed to allow a smooth passage. And that's the kind of idea that Paul speaks of. May the Lord direct your hearts. May the Lord smooth out the way so that your hearts, and Paul, the focus here, notice the focus is on the Thessalonians' hearts. Yes, they've been well instructed. They know good and sound doctrine. We've been tantalized in chapter 2 that they know more than we know about certain things. But Paul's concerned for their hearts. Remember Proverbs chapter 4, guard your heart, from the heart flow the issues of life. And Paul here is concerned about heart religion. He wants the Thessalonians not just to be solidly grounded in doctrine. He wants them to have a warm affection for the Lord Jesus. He wants them to have a warm devotion for God. He wants them to have a love that does not grow cold. Remember the Ephesian church that was so well instructed. And when we meet them in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, it seems like such a thriving congregation. And then when we encounter them again, when the Lord Jesus speaks to the churches, we discover that the Ephesians, even though they're doctrinally so correct, their love has grown cold. They've wandered away from their first love. And Paul here speaks in terms of obstacles being removed so that their hearts will close with the love of God and the steadfastness of Christ. His desire is that their hearts will be moving to a deeper and deeper personal living experience of God's love and the Lord Jesus' steadfastness. He wants them to be in the place where they're constantly face to face with the love of God. That's a glorious thing. As the heavens are high above the earth, Psalm 103, as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is the Lord's steadfast love toward those who fear him. Paul's desire is that obstacles will be removed, that God himself will remove obstacles so that the Thessalonians will constantly be having their hearts warmed with a sense of God's love. What wondrous love is this, oh my soul, isn't that the words of the hymn? What wondrous love is this that caused the Lord of bliss to bear the dreadful curse for my soul? For my soul, we remember what our God has done for us, and we marvel, what wondrous love. Paul wants obstacles cleared away so that the eyes of God's people will be fastened on a God who shows his love in providing a Savior. And yes, Paul says, not only is his prayer that the Thessalonians' hearts will be directed, that a clear channel will be cut for them to close with it, with the love of God and to grow in their perception of it, but also that they'll know the steadfastness of Christ. And what a greater example of steadfastness than the Lord Jesus himself. The Lord Jesus models steadfastness for us. He's the one who endured such opposition from sinful men. As the writer to the Hebrews tells us, you and I never have to endure more than Jesus endured. And there's, as the writer to the Hebrews tells us, keep your eyes on Jesus as you run with endurance the race that's set before you, remembering that you're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And that great cloud of witnesses bears testimony to the fact, he who promised is faithful. And there's the source of Paul's confidence as he contemplates the opportunities that lie before him and that lie before the church of the Lord Jesus. His confidence is in the faithfulness of the one who has promised, the one whose own zeal causes his kingdom to be extended, the boundaries and borders pushed forward so that more and more are gathered in and more are included. And as we persevere, remember the writer to the Hebrews says, we do so looking to the Lord Jesus, the pioneer, the perfecter of our faith, the one who has gone out before us. And may God give to us grace for our hearts to be directed to the love of God and the steadfastness of Christ. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you now for your word. We pray that your word might indeed be received by us with honor, that we would indeed receive it with delight, and that we would respond to it with obedience. And we pray that the Savior then might be glorified in our lives as he works to extend his gracious kingdom. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.